Blind Veterans UK.
We arrived at the North Pole, and in the plane following us, unbeknownst to us, there was a team who've arrived from the BBC, and I'm sitting now with Sir David Attenborough. Not really every day you bump into Sir David or anyone of note at the North Pole. And I was just wondering, Sir David, if you could perhaps you tell us a little about what you're doing up here. We're obviously up, well, we just discussed about doing the North Pole Marathon, but I guess you're not joining us on the marathon.
Certainly not. I couldn't do one under normal conditions, and doing one up here would scare the life out of me.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't last, actually. I wouldn't last more than 100 yards, let alone a marathon.
Sure. So I believe you're up for some, is it a follow-on from the Living Planet?
That's correct. We're making 7 one-hour programmes called The Frozen Planet. And it's about both polar regions, both north and south.
Okay.
And it's about the natural history, and it's about changing climate, and it's about exploration. So it's all aspects of the polar regions.
Okay. And how long will your filming take to, in order to do those the 7 one-hour programs?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've had 7 crews working for 3 years so far. And it will not be finished until this time next year.
Right.
And it probably won't go out until October the 10, 2011.
Right. That's a far longer planning period than I think most of us at home would ever realise. I mean, is that the way that most of the Living Planet?
They've been raising the bar of natural history programs for a long time. I mean, I started in 1952, so that's a long time ago.
Sure.
And they were terrible programs. I mean, you know,
proudly.
Yeah, they were. They were with black and white cameras and 405 lines and no synchronous sound, so you couldn't speak on film, as it were, because nobody could hear what you said.
Sure.
And they were grainy pictures, and now it gets better and better and better every year. The international standards are very high, and you've got to keep up with them.
Mm.
And in fact, better than that, you better lead them if you can.
Sure, sure. And in your stint up here at the North Pole, what kind of areas are you going to be covering in that?
Oh, well, here because, I mean, there isn't much here except the snow and ice.
Right.
But we want to start the first of the series by saying, I mean, I've already been in the South Pole.
Right.
I was there, 2 months ago.
Okay.
But I need at one stage to say, I am at the North Pole.
Okay.
Now, you may say, well, you could do that anyway. People couldn't tell whether you were or whether you weren't. And that's
sure.
Absolutely true. But on the other hand, I would like to think that if people see me saying that absolutely blank like that, they would believe that it is true.
Yeah.
So we've come all the way so that I can say that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's entirely laudable in the sense that, as you say, people you could go anywhere.
Yeah,
and indeed, we one of the groups of people who've done some fundraising for my efforts coming here is a bunch of kids in an after-school club.
Yeah.
And they said they had intimated that it wouldn't it be wonderful if, A, I met Santa, because we're heading up that direction. And so we may well have engineered that we have a meeting with Santa, and equally we will be able to stand at the North Pole and say and hold up our flags and say, you know, we've actually been at the North Pole.
That's right.
And in addition to that, obviously we'll have done hopefully a marathon by the end of that. So
yeah, well, good for you. I couldn't do a marathon to save my life.
Well, you're welcome to join us if you wish.
Well, that's a very generous offer, but I won't actually bother to take it up.
Fair enough. Could I just ask you one last thing? You mentioned earlier when we're chatting about St Dunstan's, and obviously my efforts are towards supporting St Dunstan's in this particular thing. And you'd said that I think you had a connection to your father.
My father-in-law, my wife's father, was gassed in the 1418 War, And he recovered his sight partially, but by the 1940s, his sight was, because of the damage by the gas, was deteriorating and he became totally blind. He was chief chemist of Shell, and so he had access to a lot of technology of all kinds. And he was very active in using, getting that technology, getting Shell to support it. So that the talking books and quite a lot of other things he did to help him. And he actually carried on as chief chemist for quite a long time, even though he was blind.
And do you mind mentioning his name?
Oriel, his name was, John Oriel.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for your time. I hope it's not kept you...
There's a lot of time up here.
And when do you head back?
Well, it depends when we get the shots done. And at the moment, you might think it's good that the temperature is only, 14 degrees below or something. But the trouble is that if it is only 14 degrees below, there's a lot of mist and cloud, and not the sort of clear skies and so on, which accompany 40 degrees below.
So what would your ideal be then for good film?
Well, our idea would be much colder than this. And with sunshine, so we can get aerial shots and so on.
Fair enough.
And we haven't got that here, so it's not too good.
And are you going to have access to a helicopter for doing the...
Yes, indeed.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, good luck in the marathon.
Thank you.
I'm astounded that anyone should do it.
Well, I'm astounded I'm as stupid as I am to come and do it. Thank you.
Go to blindveterans.org.uk and do it today.